Danny, I just figured out that if I switch to Metro PCS, I get two Samsung Galaxy phones free.
Cool, Dad.
And I could be a super dad with two free Samsung Galaxy phones and call myself Double Galaxy Man.
Or you could give the second phone to your sidekick.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
That's right. Two free Samsung Galaxy On 5 smartphones are all yours when you switch to Metro PCS. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We seem to have a little feedback here tonight coming from out of the hotel in North Carolina. We praise God for his goodness. We thank God for technology. And some are in New York. Many are in New York. Some are in Virginia and everywhere. But the broadcast is coming into your home by the phone or through the internet. I am extremely excited tonight to have one of my laborers in the vineyard to break the bread of life. The young man who's going to be our speaker for the hour is someone that I grew up with. I saw his mother carrying him in her belly, and we loved and adored him. And we have the same father in the gospel, in the history. Grandfather is Joseph A. King, and he was our father in the gospel. And I tell you, I love him. I'm excited. I can't wait. I've been thinking about it. I had some excellent speakers, Apostle Choway, who stayed locked and loaded, ready to go at any moment. And my God, we went down to West Palm Beach, Florida, and got Bishop James A. Davis, and he said, ain't nothing like a sweet orange out of Florida. But he gave us the sweet word of Jesus Christ on last Wednesday night. We come to a close this Wednesday night until next month around this same time. The song is playing, everything you need, God got it. And we want you to know that. You don't have to fear, you don't have to worry, and you don't have to fret. God will take care of you. But before my speaker, Pastor Elder Walter Davis Jr., before he brings the message, I would like for you all to just relax and listen to this melodious singer, which is his mother, Betty Davis. I want you to hear her sing this song. She's my soloist. I have many soloists, but she's my soloist. And I tell you, so many days I've had to listen to her sing and tell God thank you. So I'm going to read my scripture, which is our theme. I'm in a hotel now. Remember, my phone may not sound right. I'm on my cell phone. But to God be the glory. Oh, bless his name. I'm going to read, as some of you know, we've been reading from Psalms 92 and verse 1. Well, I can't blame this on the cell phone. It's me. I've got my Bible upside down. I'm really saved tonight. I've got my Bible upside down and getting ready to read the word of God. Psalm 92 and 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. That's our thing. It is a good thing to get, I tell you, I feel like getting my dance on already. Oh, I just took an apple pie out of the oven and it is beautiful. And I won't get thanks to that after the program goes off because I'm going to have a slice before I go to bed. God bless you. At this time, without further ado, we will hear the mother of our speaker, Mrs. Betty Davis. And after she sings, her son will come forward with whatever he needs to do. Oh, bless his name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. It's an honor and it is a blessing to be with you, Radio Land, this evening, this pre-Thanksgiving day. And we thank God for his loving kindness and his tender mercy. We thank God for him allowing us to see as the Lord have made. We shall rejoice, and we shall be glad in it. We want to give great honor to God, to my sister, amen, as she has stated, she has known me all my life, literally, amen. She has known both my parents, amen, and my grandparents. She's known my humble beginning, Pastor Benjamin, Prophet Benjamin, amen. And to all of the people of God, Bishop Scott, and to all of you, my father's children, from across the nation, across the world, around the world. We just thank God for this opportunity, and we are going to do our best to go into what we believe the Lord is saying to us in this day and time. Let us just say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you, God, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you, oh God, for your outstretched hand. We thank you for this opportunity to speak to your people as the oracle of God. We ask that you hide us behind the bleeding side of the cross. Let no flesh, nothing of Walter be seen or heard. But Father, you do this speaking through your Holy Spirit. Anoint our tongue with the words of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we would take hold of what you're saying to us in these last and evil days, and we will go forward, pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. We ask for your anointing in the name of Jesus that destroys yoke and makes preaching easy. And not only preaching easy, but the understanding of the word easy to comprehend it, that it will, oh God, be imparted into our spirit, that we will not only be hearers of your word, but doers also. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. Saints of God, as we begin to look around what's happening with us for many, many months, I can even say even some years, we've been hearing about transition. Well, transition coming, the changing of the gods. God is going to do a new thing, and God is going to bring forth, and God is going to pull down, and God is going to build up. And in these last past few weeks, we have had a great exit of the fathers, the generals of the gospel of the kingdom, leaving this world, going into eternity. And just the other day, a sister of mine hit me up on Facebook and inboxed me and said, what is your prophetic view concerning the fathers leaving? What is going on? What is happening? And I said to her that the Bible lets us know in the 8th chapter of Romans, Prophetess Benjamin, that the earth, the creation is groaning for the expectation for the manifest sons of God. God is saying that it's time for the son to step up and become father. There has been a great attack on the men of God. The enemy has been attacking us in every area, every level of our life. In every arena of life, there has been a great attack. And so now the transition is here. The transition is real. The transition is happening. The transition is taking place. And so as we were tonight, I was looking on my Facebook page, come to find out another general passed on, one of the most prolific prophets in the country, really in the world, Prophet Kim Clement. Don't know all the full details. And it caught me off guard for a moment, but at the same time, it is a confirmation what the Lord is saying to us on tonight and what he will continue to say to the body of Christ. You're going to find me in a familiar scripture, but the verse that I'm going to read is not really And people don't really speak about it. People don't really talk about it. But I believe the Lord has something to say to us today. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 12. And it reads, "And Elisha saw it, cried, 'My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horse.' And when he saw him no more, he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." Verse 16, "And they said unto him, 'Behold now, there be with thy servant 50 strong men, let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master.'" So far, the scripture. I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to be long, but I'm going to be strong with the help of the Holy Ghost. I want to go back to where it said in the last part of verse 12 and the beginning of the verse 13. "And he took hold of his own clothes," Elisha, "and rent them in two pieces." First part of the A clause of verse 13, "and took up also the mantle of Elijah." Falkins Benjamin, I want to speak to our brothers and our sisters that's in the transition today to tell them this. The Lord said, "The mantle is waiting. The mantle is waiting." This was a very serious transition in the life of Israel, because this was during the reigning of King Ahaz, who brought the people under heavy, sinful transition. They were worshiping different idols. They were doing all types of different things that was displeasing to God. And the Bible lets us know a few chapters before that out of nowhere, here comes this rock-like, strong, hard prophet by the name of Elijah, who was a Tishbite. And he came from Gilead, I believe, and the Bible says he declared and he spoke a word that for the next 3 years there would be no rain. He spoke a prophetic word, a judgment word upon the people, and that word came to pass. You know the story that God sustained the prophet during the time of judgment again and the earth. God sustained him while he sat at a little brook. The little brook gave him water to drink, and God used an unclean bird called a raven, a scavenger, my God, to feed the man of God day and night. Let me stop here and tell you, when you are in transition, and when you are on a mission, and when you are on an assignment with God, I don't care what's happening around you, take it from a personal experience. God is going to provide your need, and he's going to provide it in the most unusual way. He's going to use unusual people. He's going to use unusual circumstances to make sure that his chosen needs are met. A little brook gave him to drink day and night, but this raven was sent by the Lord. He brought him flesh in his mouth in the morning, enough to sustain him until the noonday, and a want of flesh, something to eat at nighttime, something to sustain him through the night. But the Bible says during the time, in the process of time, The brook dried up. That means no more water. The raven stopped coming. That means no more food. That means it was time for him to move on in transition. Let me stop there and tell everybody, we've got to learn, stop getting stuck in transition. We've got to know when it's time to move on. We've got to know when it's time to break out the box. We've got to know when it's time to let go and let God. We've got to know when we've got to move out of our comfort zone because we are on a mission for Christ. God said to him, cross over the brook and get to a place where I have already ordained a woman, a widow, to sustain thee. Bible says he got up and he crossed over. He went. When God speaks, you got to move. When God speaks, you got to do. When God speaks, we got to obey. We are in a time right now, saints. We cannot wrestle with this. We cannot struggle with this. We cannot ponder with this. We cannot play games with this. We have got to be at a point in the life of God, regardless of what's happening in our life, regardless of what's going on in our life, regardless of what's going on in the church, regardless of what's going on in the family, regardless of what's going on in the politics. When God speaks, we've got to obey. We can no longer just be hearers of the word, but we got to be doers of the word. We got to do that which God has spoken to us and make sure that we dot every I and cross every T. He did it. He got up and he went. We know the story concerning this young woman. She was about to eat her last cake, her and her son. Bible said that she was about to, this little bit of cake, handful of meal. And her son was going to die because the famine had wiped them out. Can I tell you this? There are some people who are on their last leg, and they're about to give up. And God is telling somebody, get to that Zarephath. Get to that person and speak a word over that life. Even in their famine, God would sustain you through your faith. Even in your issue, God will sustain you in your faith. Even in your struggle, God will sustain you in your faith. Because your faith, oh, somebody ought to give God a praise right there. I don't care what your famine is. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your family. It could be in your ministry. It could be in your job. It could be anywhere, everywhere. But I'm here to let somebody know. My God. I'm here to let somebody know. Your faith. Your faith, hiya, thank you, Jesus. Your faith is greater than your famine. He said to the woman, before you do anything, make me a cake. And he prophesied to her, as you do this, the meal will not go to waste, and the oil will not dry up. And because she obeyed the man of God, the Bible says, what she had left outlasted the famine. Can I tell you this? My mother used to sing a song, Ordinary People, by one of the great songsters of the 70s, Daniel Bell. And she used to sing in this part, one of the lines of the song says, little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. Well, the Bible tells him to go forward. And God said to him, I want you to anoint certain people. Anoint the king. Anoint a fighter, a warrior, and I want you to go and take your mantle and place it on a young man by the name of Elisha, because he's going to take your role. Elijah knew that his time was coming to a pass. His time was coming to a completion, and God needed his space to be occupied. Can I tell you this? God has a place for you. I don't know whom I'm speaking to on this wonderful ministry. I hear the Lord saying to tell somebody, I have a place for you. I have a place for you. I have not forgotten you. I have a place for you. I have a place for you. Remain faithful where you're at. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know it's challenging. I know it's hurting. I know it's frustrating. But I have a place for you in the kingdom. So don't kick the bucket. Don't run away. Don't run around. Don't be easily persuaded. Don't be easily moved. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand strong. remain encouraged, being steadfast and unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Bible says that when Elijah found Elisha, he was outside in the farm yard taking care of what his father gave him the responsibility to do. Can I tell you this, saints? It may seem like you're at a dead end, but keep on working. It may seem like what you're doing in ministry and in marriage and at your job and in life is a dead end. Can I tell you this? God knows how to make a detour in the dead end. Come on, somebody. God knows how to open the door. God knows how to create a door when there is no door. God knows how to make a window when there is no window. He is the great carpenter, but there was nothing too hard for him. Elijah came and put his mantle on him. That first mantle was a mantle of separation. Now, Elijah came from a well-to-do family. He came from a well-to-do family, and he stood to inherit a great inheritance from his God has something greater. Can I tell you this, saint? Sometimes you got to leave much in order to get the all that God has for you. And that's a hurting thing, but it's a greater thing. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm almost finished. Just stick with me for a while. But God is speaking to somebody because your mantle is waiting on you. The Bible says that this young man began to follow Elijah. Now, there were other sons of the prophet. The Bible says there were 50 of them because Elijah was the founder of the first school of the prophet. And they will follow him. And they came to a time. Everywhere Elijah went, there was Elisha. Everything that Elijah did, there was Elisha. Everything Elijah said, there was Elisha. You've got to remain steadfast where you at. You've got to be faithful unto death. Not until, unto. And the Bible said that when the time came when Elijah was ready to be taken away, everybody knew it. Elisha knew it. The sons of the prophets knew it. So Elijah put Elisha to the test. I don't know who I'm talking to. Prophets, better than I hear the Lord saying somebody's being put to the test in their ministry. Somebody's being put to the test in their marriage. Somebody's being put to the test in their career. Somebody's being put to the test. And they're being told, get out of here. Leave. Go. Get away from me. Because let me tell you something. Elijah was not easy on Elisha. He was not easy because he knew the responsibility that he was going to leave in the hand to be here. When you take over, I can't be with you when you go forth. I can't be with you when you're in charge. So I got to make sure you know how to handle the weapons of warfare. I got to know that you can make sure you know how to handle the heat in the daytime and the cold times at night. I got to make sure that when I leave here, you know how to continue in the name of the Lord. So every time he said, listen, I got somewhere to go. I got to go to Jericho. I got to go to Bethel. I got to go to Jordan. Get on out of here, boy. I got to go to Gilgal. And Elijah said, I'm just going to hang out with you. Not only was he getting that from Elijah, but he was also getting some refusal from the brothers. He was getting some, he's being antagonized. He was being mocked. You know that your master's going to leave you. You know what your master's going to leave you. And you know what Elijah said? Hold your peace. You don't know what you're talking about. You've got to tell people to be quiet. You've got to hush those noises. Those noise that speak to you in the nighttime, those noise that antagonize you in the daytime, your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings, your financial situation, your health situation, your ministry situation. You got to hush it because God is doing something in this transition. Really, when he got to Jordan, the Bible says, Elijah asked him, what shall I do for thee? Help me, Holy Ghost. And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Saints, it's time to go after the double. What we have to encounter in today's time, what we got last year, what we got last month, what we received last decade, we need a double portion of God's anointing. We need a double portion of God's spirit. That means we've got to let go of everything, everything in order to get. Elijah said, you ask a hard thing, but I have one more test to take you through. Because all up until this time, watch this, and I want you all to hear this. Up until this time, the only thing that Elijah called Elijah, excuse me, the only name, the only approach that Elisha called Elijah was master. And rightfully so. He was the master teacher. He was the master prophet. In other words, Elisha saw himself as a student. Prophet Benjamin, I hope you catch this. A student receives information, but it's a son who receives transformation. And today we have a lot of people receiving information, but we need people to receive transformation. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Everywhere they went, he said, your master, my master, my master. And he said to him, when you see me, when I go up, as you see me, if you see me, what you've asked is granted. But if you don't, you won't. The Bible says, as they spoke, they never told them what they were speaking about. So can I tell you this? In those last minute hours, in those last minute moments, God is speaking something to you that everybody's not going to call the secret place. And saints, I'm telling you right now, while we're in this transition, while we're seeing the fathers about to be taken away, some of the fathers have gone, and there's other fathers that's in a place, and mothers, and people who have the power of God and the knowledge of God and the will of God and the anointing of God and the hold of God. God is saying, get under them. Get next to them. Let them speak into your life. What you can't read in the textbook, what you can't hear on a Sunday morning service, what you may not get on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday or a Friday night service, you will get in those intimate moments with the fathers and the mothers. Get under them. Nobody got to go with you. Get under them. Let them impart those last-minute nuggets to you. Hold them dearly. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. The Bible says, and as they were speaking, the chariot from heaven came down, the horses came down and separated them. And Elijah stepped up, took him up into the house, up into heaven. And the Bible says there was a whirlwind that took place. And Elijah saw it, and he caught the vision. He finally got it, prophetess. He said, my father, my father. Now, why is that important? Because as I first stated, a student don't receive an inheritance, only sons. God is speaking to the sons of God. I'm not talking about gender. I'm talking about God's agenda. Somebody better hear what I'm saying right up in here. I'm not talking about gender as in male and female, because there's neither male nor female, bond or free in Christ. We're all one. He's speaking about his agenda. What is on God's prophetic agenda? What is on God's prophetic calendar? What is God saying to the body of Christ? He said, in the last day, I shall pour out my spirit upon what? All flesh. And your sons, and your daughters, and your handmaids, and your men servants. Do great things. Why? Because the time is coming close, coming to a close real soon. And God has got to use whomsoever will. Let him come. And he said, my father, the mantle, Lord, I thank you, was released from Elijah, from on high. Now, years ago, prophets, they used to tell us that Elijah gave him, gave to Elijah the mantle. No, 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 no. When you read the scripture, the mantle fell. The mantle fell. The mantle fell. You're not going to help me up in here. The mantle fell. The Bible says, and Elijah saw. And Elijah saw where the mantle was. He had to rip his old clothes off. He had to get rid of himself. He had to get rid of his past. He had to get rid of his hurt. He had to get rid of his pain. He had to get rid of everything he represented in the past and in the present in order to pick up his future. I want somebody to know the mantle that is waiting for you to be picked up is your future. The mantle of healing, the
the mantle of destiny, the mantle of miracles, the mantle of prophecy, the mantle of working the blessing of the Lord, the mantle of preaching and pastoring, the mantle of entrepreneurship, the mantle is waiting on you. But you've got to receive it as a son and not as a student. Students receive information. Sons receive an inheritance. Closing. With all of the transitions that's happening with the forefathers, there's mantles waiting. There's been mantles waiting for a long time. There is still a Joseph mantle waiting. Yes. To get into position to save Israel, Egypt. My God. There's a Joshua mantle waiting to lead the people over Jordan into the promised land. There is a Solomon mantle waiting. My God. To build and do great things for the man of God. There is a David mantle waiting that will bring worship and praise, power of God. There is an apostle, a mantle waiting. Not the apostles we're dealing with today. No. The apostles who are willing to leave everything and follow Jesus for the cause of Christ. Do you know where your mantle is? Do you know what your mantle is? If you want to know, if you need to know where it is, get with the Father. Get with the Father. Don't leave. I don't know who God is talking to. Don't leave. Stay. Elijah, again, was not easy on Elisha. He was not easy on him. Can I tell you this? The way, the road that God has chosen for us is not easy. The Bible says, "Broad is the way, and many thereof, but they lead to the way of destruction. But narrow is the way," meaning we're all falling in line one by one. "And few shall enter in into eternal life." Get in line, saints. Get in line, people of God. My brother, my sister, my friend, my champion, my soldier, the mantle is waiting. And when he picked up the mantle, he picked up the mantle and said, "Where be the God of Elijah?" And when he struck the Jordan River, it split in half. Can I tell you this? The mantle will work. What God has for you will work. Where God is sending you will work. What God has assigned for you to do, it still works. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he did that and put the mantle on him, the sons of the prophets that made fun of him, the sons of the prophets who ridiculed him, the sons of the prophets who tried to stop him and block him and hinder him, now submitted unto him. There is a generation, prophetess Benjamin, waiting for us to pick up the mantle. There are souls waiting. Jesus said, "There are sheep that are not of this fold. There also I must bring." People will not agree with it, but you got to obey God. Some people won't like it, but you got to obey God. Some people won't even follow you, but there is, for everyone who don't follow you, five more that will. Your mantle is waiting. The mantle is waiting. Can I talk about Seal? The mantle is waiting. I didn't come to preach long. I just came to really give you an encouragement, prophetic word. The mantle is waiting. While we are preparing for Thanksgiving on tomorrow, the mantle is waiting. The holiday is finished tomorrow, and we prepare for Christmas. The mantle is waiting. While we commit the Yoshata, while we get ready to go into 2017, the mantle is waiting. Time to pick up those mantles. Don't look for those who you thought were going to be with you to be with you. They're not. But God got somebody who is going to follow and submit and work with you, that the kingdom of God will be expanded and enlarged. The mantle. I want to open this up for anyone who would like to have prayer at this time.
anybody like to have prayer?
This is your host. This is Dr. Gregory Scott. And I want you to know there's several people on the call, and I want to invite them all, if they would, just to press 1 to make certain that we will give you attention and opportunity to have a word and take prayer from Pastor Davis. So what I'm going to do is simply walk through the callers that are on the line. What I will do is open your line and say your number, your last 4, and if you would like prayer or word from Pastor, then that will be your opportunity. So caller at last 4-5793, your line is open. Hello, 5793. Yes, please. Steve.
Yes, my name is Sarah, and I would like to have prayer for healing.
Father, we thank you for our sister Sarah. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity for you to prove that with your stripes, we are healed. You said in your word through your prophet Isaiah, 700 years before you even came to the cross, you was wounded for our transgression. You was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon your body, and with your stripes we are healed. Now, Father, you healed me 6 years ago. And, Father, that same anointing, that same power, that same ability that you put in my body in the name of Jesus, I transfer to her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. I reverse every condition. I reverse every situation. It never caught me on my heart. I release the healing, Mako Ramandika. And not only do I release healing in her, but Father, make her whole. And not only do I make Yosha, I ask you to make her heal, Lord. I also ask you to heal her and make her whole. I ask you to keep her healthy in the name of Jesus. And I release the gift of healing in her body. Father, let this be the open door that she can go forward in what you have put in her hand. Right now in the name of Jesus. Let the gift of healing begin to operate through her. Let the gift of miracles begin to operate through her. In the name of Jesus, even God, the Jato, Rabba Bambio Shabbat. Hey, Tokota. There it goes. There it goes. There it goes. Shabbat. Reka Parabantia. There it goes. Take hold, take hold, take hold. Walk in your healing. In the name of Jesus, and give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Caller, hallelujah. The last 4 or 2884. If you would like a word or a prayer, this will be your opportunity. I'm opening the line for 2884 for prayer or a word.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, I'm
moving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, let me just give a closing prayer and I give it right back to you.
Your line is open. You want prayer or a word? Now's the time.
Jesus.
Caller 2248. Your line is open.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Caller at 3271. We're opening your line if you will take a word or a prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Call it 3271.
I'm asking for prayer. This is Pastor Patricia Benjamin, and I'm not above prayer, so I want you to pray for me, my brother.
Father, I thank you for this great woman of God who has graduated to heights that is about to be revealed. I hear the Lord saying your book is about to come forth out of you. Jeez. Not only books of God, but I hear the Lord says there's going to be the most, there's going to be volumes. There's going to be volumes of books. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. I see plays coming out in your books. Mm-hmm. Life-changing plays coming out. My Katobosha. I even hear the Lord saying, I'm going to give you connection with Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Yes, God. I'm going to open the doors and favor you with famous actors and actresses, and you can minister the word of the Lord to them, my God. Because I hear the Lord saying to you, woman of God, that your financial struggle is completely over. The wealth of the wicked is no longer laid up for the just, but is being released into you because you made a covenant with God. Lord, if you do this, I'll do that. God, if you give me this, I'll give that. Yes, God. And I hear the Lord saying, he told death, keep away from her. He told death, keep away. Sing around, but God told death, not her, not her. Don't even come near her. Because she must live long and strong, saith the Lord. And I even hear the Lord saying that there's a great following of young people coming around you. They're going to be running. What you used to do at King's Chapel with the young people, God says, I'm about to fill your house. You are the woman in Isaiah 54. More. I hear the Lord saying, more. And I see you laying hands on children. And God is, oh my God, I hear you, Lord. Excuse me for calling you out of your name. I know you're pastor and talking, but he told me to call you by your name. He calls you. He said, tell Patty, I'm giving her also a prophylactic anointing. A prophylactic in the medical field is medication that's given to you before the disease takes place. When the doctor detects that you're going to have some type of infection because of a cut, they give you prophylactic antibiotics to keep the infection from happening. God says, I'm giving you a prophylactic anointing to keep sin from overtaking the young people. A prophylactic anointing to keep people from going the wrong way. A prophylactic anointing that you can lay hands on our children so when they would go wrong, they'll go right. When they would go down, they'll go up. A prophylactic anointing that what you have experienced in life, God says, your particular, the lane of your hands, straight and the narrow road. A prophylactic anointing. Get ready for an overflow.
Wow.
He didn't tell me to pray. He said, you already prayed. He said, prophesy. Lord, have mercy. Because that's what happened with Jehoshaphat. The Bible says, when the enemies were coming, I hear the Lord talking, when the enemies were coming from the north, south, and the east, and the west, and these were distant cousins, these were relatives. I don't know who's been fighting you. I don't know who's been around you, people that have been like friends and sisters and brothers around you fighting, but God says, I'm allowing them to come because what you need, they got. They're not coming to fight, my God. God says, they're coming to battle, but it's going to become your bank account. They're coming to war, but it's going to cause you to become wealthy. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat prayed, but when he prayed, the prophetic word came forth. And God says, you already prayed. He told me to give the prophetic word.
Lord, I thank you.
He says, you need not fight in this because I'm a boss. Stand still. Face them and stand still and watch the wealth in your praise. I see you having a night of nothing but praise and worship. I see a service coming out of you. Praise and worship. My God. I hear the Lord say Azusa is coming back in another way. It's Azusa is coming back. People that's going to walk in and just fall to the power of God. The Lord says you're going to see great healings and miracles. Miracles we've heard about. Miracles we've seen as children. God says, I'm bringing it back through the sons and the daughters of my generals. Yes, God. God says, I hear the Lord say, yes, yes, thank you, Holy Ghost. Now I have understanding. He says, you picked up the mantle. Not just of Joseph, but you picked up the mantle of Mabel. My grandmother, you picked up the mantle. That's why the son and the just waiting for someone to pick. They couldn't handle the mantle, but they knew somebody who could handle the mantle. My God, those 50 sons knew. The Bible said they were strong. Bishop, they said they were strong men. but they knew they didn't have the strength to handle the mantle. Lord, have mercy. And people are strong around you. People are strong that's coming to you, but they don't have the strength to handle the mantle. So they need you to be the channel. That would lead them to where they got to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, I wish somebody online would help me get God's praise what he's doing in my sister's life right now. And I hear the Lord saying to Bishop Scott, I hear the Lord saying, I don't know what this means, Bishop man of God. I don't know what this means. But he says, what you've been denied and what you've been delayed, God says, not going to be delivered.
Thank you.
People have been blocking certain things. People have been blocking. They have literally put barriers in front of you, blocking. And it almost had you in comfort, my God, like the children was at the Red Sea. But the Lord says, I allowed it to happen because I'm going to use your faith to open up. What people block you, God says, you're going to create an opening. So he says, I had to allow you to be locked in, but you wasn't locked out. Good God from Zion. Your faith wasn't locked out. Your anointing wasn't locked out. God says, I had to make it seem like it was very impossible to let you know that I'm the God who specializes in the impossible things. Yes, God.
Thank you.
Hear the Lord say to you, man of God, I'm going to further prove, he said, for his glory, he's going to further prove to the doubters. And to the scouters, I'm just saying what he says. Who I am in you and who you are in me. He says, remain encouraged. He says, don't shed one more tear. You shed tears outwardly and inwardly. God said there was time that you shed tears that you couldn't taste. Lord have mercy. Bitter tears, those hurtful tears, my God. But he says, I'm using your tears as fertilizer, to wet the ground, my God. And your harvest shall come forth, and it shall be greener than ever, saith the Lord God, because you remain in unfaithful circumstances. Man of God, walk in your blessing. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more thing the Lord said to me to tell you, man of God. The Lord says the tightness that you've been feeling, the squeeze, the pressure you've been feeling, he says, that's not the enemy. That's not people. That's me. He says, show me a bow and arrow. A bow and arrow. And the arrow can't go nowhere far for this venom without the bow. The purpose of the bow is to send the arrow where it's destined to go. The further you pull the arrow back, the tighter the person who's shooting the arrow got to get a grip. Keep it sturdy. God says the pressure you've been feeling, yeah, come on, Shakia Maha, is to keep you steady so you know where you're going. You seem like people have been going ahead of you. God says by the time he releases you, you're going to be there by the time they get there. Lord have mercy. He's doing a Joseph on you, man of God. He's doing a Joseph on you. He sent you ahead of time so you can bring people into their time. My God, Lord have mercy. You had to be betrayed. You had to be talked about. You had to be lied on. You had to be turned away. You had to be outcast because God says I'm sending you in a speech. My God, that when the people who did you wrong come to you, like Joseph, you would take care of them. That's why Joseph said to his brothers, don't be angry with yourself. God set me ahead of you, watch this, to save you and preserve you a posterity. God is saying you are his future. God has put you in the future to bring somebody into their future. And the one that's under the Bohoshia, some of them are those who tried to destroy your future. They didn't know trying to destroy you was destroying them, but God preserved you so you could preserve them.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much, Pastor Ben.
He's about to release you into your future so you can bring others into their future. God bless you. Back in your hands. I love you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Pastor, I would like for you to pray for Bishop Scott's daughter, if you have the time.
Father,
Dr.
we
Scott
pray right now for this woman of God.
Dr. Scott, is my line open?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, can you hear me? I wanted him to pray for your daughter.
I'm here, yes.
Okay, here she is. Amen. Hello.
God bless you, woman of God. How are you?
God bless you. I am wonderful.
Mm-hmm. You know why you're wonderful? Because he is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I hear the Lord saying to you, and I pray that I'm okay with this, because
yeah.
I'm very careful when I minister to certain women. But he told me to tell you this. You can let it go so he can let things flow.
Mm.
He says you no longer need to use the hurt to maintain your status. Lord have mercy. He says walk in your healing. Walk in your complete healing, your mind, your will, your spirit. Things that were said, things that was done, even in the family, he says you can let it go now. Let it go. He says be free from it. He wants you to be free from it. And he wants you to celebrate your freedom. He says, celebrate your freedom, because you just did not survive. You are an overcomer. God never called us to be a survivor. He called us to be an overcomer. That means I've crossed over it, my God. Not only am I over it, my God, I have overcoming power to be sustained on the other side. Just to tell you, this woman of God, he says, yes, I have loved thee, and I still love you. And I didn't let another boat shut up. He said, I've never stopped loving you and never will stop loving you. But there's one thing he needs you to do. I'm in the ocean. I need you. And I wake you up in the morning, early in the morning. He says, get up. Don't struggle no more. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. The wrestling that's going on in your spirit is like Rebecca. Prophet Benjamin, the Bible says that Rebecca was for 20 years, she was the wife of Isaac, and 20 years, I'm hearing this, 20 years she kept getting pregnant. The Bible says she was barren, but she wasn't barren. God held her womb up for a specific time because he knew he needed her womb for a purpose. You have a spiritual womb that God is waiting for a specific time to give birth. Now watch this, when she finally got pregnant, the Bible says there was a wrestling. The children wrestled with her. And she said, what is this all about? She went to everybody to try to get some answer. I'm going to be real quick with this. Nobody could give her an answer because what she was describing, nobody ever heard of. God told me to tell you this. The reason why you couldn't describe to everybody what's going on inside of you is because it's not a demon, not a sin. It's a God thing. Lord have mercy. Thing. And the struggling is to get you to come to God. So when she couldn't go to the doctor no more, her husband couldn't help her, the midwife couldn't help her, nobody around could help her, the Bible says she went to the Lord. Lord, if it be so, why am I thus? And this is what the Lord spoke to her. Let her know. Watch this. Two nations are in your womb. Two manner of people. Okay? Even though physically it was two sons, spiritually and kingdom-minded-wise, it was two nations. So she just wasn't feeling the struggle between two boys. She was feeling the struggles of nations that she was about to give birth to. God told me to tell you, the wrestling that's going on inside of you, God is spiritual, you're going to birth nations. You're going to birth young sons and daughters into the kingdom. My God, that's why you got to get up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and pray.
Wow.
You got to travail. You got to travail.
My God.
The Bible says that the children are ready to give birth, but the womb is not strong enough to release. So God needs women like you that will strengthen the spiritual womb in the kingdom, that will travail. That will travail, travail, that the womb in the kingdom will be strengthened. And you know what the womb is? The womb is the mouth. God will correct our tongue. God will correct our words. God will correct our saying. God will correct our language. So God is telling you, get up. Get up and begin to pray in tongues. Get up and begin to command the kingdom of God, the people of God, the body of Christ. Speak the words of Christ, not the words of man, not the words of facts. Oh, my God. That's another thing the Lord said he's teaching. He's teaching you facts versus faith. Lord have mercy. He's teaching you, yes, when you're sick, that's facts. But faith says you're healed. Which will you believe more? All right, God. Are you a preacher? Are you an evangelist?
I'm supposed to be.
You can't run no more because what you think you're running from, you're running to. There's a U-turn. Every time you try to run from, he puts a U-turn right in. Smack that right there. God got a glove. He got a glove. God knows how to play baseball. He never misses a catch. Every time you try to run from, boom, you run right into him. Right into him. Because what you're trying to run away from, Jonah, God's going to have you to run right into.
Yeah.
So he said, tell her stop running because I don't want her foot in the belly of the whale. She don't belong in the belly of the whale, but if I got to find it, I will. Tell her, Walter, I'm giving her one more chance. Come out of your shelter. Say yes to him because you're needed in the kingdom. You're needed.
Yeah.
You're needed. You are needed in the kingdom. He says, you are one of the women that's going to strengthen the womb of the kingdom. That's why you got to get up. I know you got responsibilities of doing the daytime and all of that, but he says, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. Blessed be the
Lord
to you.
Jesus. Yes.
Bishop, there's somebody else on the line. They're scared to talk. So I'm just, if you don't mind, I just want the Lord stir up the gift that is in them. There's a man that's on the line. He's scared to talk because he really don't know how to put it into words, and he don't want to say the wrong thing. So, Father, I pray for him in the name of Jesus. Stir up the gift in him. Stir up the gift in him. Like, yes, God, I hear you talking, Lord. Yes, he's been whipped and crippled. And I speak, my God, I speak to Mephibosheth in him. He's going to be delivered back to the king's table. God's going to use his crippling. God's going to use his injury. God's going to use his hurt to bring healing. God says, I'm going to do greater than healing, my man of God. He says, I'm going to give you restoration. My God, David didn't have the gift to heal. He had the gift to restore. My God, the second Samuel chapter 9 talks about Mephibosheth, who was the grandson of a king, and he lost his destiny because somebody dropped him. Man of God, you've been dropped. You've been forsaken. You've been left aside. You lost your kingship. You lost your inheritance, or you think you lost it. But God says, I had another person that's going to restore you. So he said, don't worry about you being crippled. Don't worry about you being handicapped. The Lord says, I'm going to give you restoration, and I'm going to hide your insufficiencies. I'm going to hide what people think they call you by. They call you by your condition, but God said, I'm speaking to your confession. I'm not just still a prince. And he's bringing restoration. Restoration. There's a man on the line. He's bringing restoration. And prophetess, the Lord is saying that whoever listens to this recording, it's going to be for a few more people. It's going to be for a few more people. Yes, God, I thank you. It's going to be for you. You're going to get a call. When this recording is played again, you're going to get a call. That word was for me. I wish I was on the line, but I'm glad that you recorded it because I needed to hear that word, restoration instead of healing. God, I thank you. So whoever you are, my brother, God says, I got you. Even in your silence, I hear you. I hear the Lord saying that. In your silence, I hear you.
Amen, amen. Thank you
so
much, Pastor Davis. Thank you. We're not going to wait another year to get you back on this program. I'll tell you that right now.
Amen. Dr. Scott, is my sister still on the line? 284.
Yes, she is.
Please open her mic. I would like for the elder to pray for my sister. You know, Jackie and your mom were very close, and Jackie's quiet.
2884, the line is open.
I'm on the line.
Hello.
Jackie?
Yes.
Aunt Jackie?
Yes.
How you doing, Aunt Jackie?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just going to tell you one thing, and I'm going to leave you alone. But you're still my aunt, and you can spank me if you have to.
Okay.
He told me to tell you this. You are not forgotten at
Ooh.
All.
Thank you, Jesus.
He told me to tell you, you are an Andrew. Andrew and Peter were brothers. They were disciples of Jesus Christ, and they also became apostles. But the great thing about Andrew is this. Every time Andrew brought one person to Jesus, It was that person who did great things. But without Andrew, they would have never been able to do great things. For instance, the Bible says that it was Andrew who brought Peter to Jesus. And 3 years later, Peter preached to 3,000 and added to the church. It was Andrew, quiet Andrew, quiet Andrew, quiet, meek, mild Andrew, who brought the little boy with the two fish and five loaves to Jesus. And there was 5,000 men, besides women and children, who was anywhere between, really between 15,000 to 18,000 people waiting to eat something. There was this little boy that brought this Andrew that brought this little boy to Jesus. And look what Jesus did with the disciples. God told me to tell you, you are not forgotten. You are a quiet but a powerful worker in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And he said to tell you, he takes notice of your work.
Mm-hmm.
And great will be your reward. Great will be your reward. Great will be your reward. Even the things you've done at King's Chapel under my grandmother and grandfather that people don't know about God, I still remember because it's recorded in the books. See, you got to understand, time don't cause God to forget because he got it recorded in the book. Right next to the land, the book of life, there's some books there that he has angels recording what we have done for the kingdom. And every now and then, God looks at his peripheral vision and says, I need to bless Jackie. What did she do 40 years ago? What did she do 30 years ago? What did she do 20 years ago? Reward her now. You're an Andrew in the kingdom. So, Father, I thank you for this humble spirit. I thank you for this humble spirit. I thank you for this quiet worker. But that's powerful. Yes, God. She's like a volcano. A volcano is quiet for years. Nothing's happening. You can climb it, go on top of it, go inside of it. But when it's ready to erupt, Lord have mercy, when it erupts, it affects everything. God says when you work and do quietly for the kingdom, it literally touches. It starts a rippling effect. It literally touches everything around. That's your gifting. There's power in your silence. There's power in you being quiet because it's just as effective as your sister and your brother and your mother and those around you. You are not forgotten. So I thank you for it now, God, and we seal it in Jesus' name. And, Father, you will meet every need and even give her the desires of your heart. I just heard the Lord say to you and Patty, and I don't know if y'all been talking about this. If I'm wrong, you can correct me. I don't know what's going on here, but there's a cruise coming to you. Somebody's going to sponsor a cruise for you all, for the family, to go away. A cruise. So get ready.
You're right. You're on top of it. She's on her way on the cruise Monday, I believe, or Sunday night. You're on that thing. And she and her daughter are going. I'll be back in New York taking care of mom. But the cruise is definitely on.
I saw a cruise going on. Okay.
Wow. Amen. And there's three people that she's an advocate for me. She sends out forwarding to the saints and aints, tell them to get on the air and hear the word of God. And there's three people that support our program, Glory United Ministries, and Sister Tara and a husband and wife, I think his name is Harold or something. She'll have to tell you what his name is. Sister Ruby's husband, they're not well, and I don't think they're on tonight. But they don't have to be on. There's no distance in prayer. If you can just pray for those three people, South Carolina is my strongest supporter. And that husband and wife and Sister Tara Scott, who's been back and forth in the hospital because of her dialysis. So we just want God to saturate them with his healing power. And I already know whatever God's going to do, God's going to do it. And whatever he does, I will give him the praise and the glory. Whatever, even though I don't like it sometimes the way God does things, but I still have to praise him in spite of myself. So I can't have no pity party. I got to get self out of the way, meaning my flesh out of the way, and go on and tell God, thank you. I love
thank
the praise.
You.
Thank you. Nothing like thank you. Oh, my God, because it gives us the sunshine every day and the rain. That's enough to say thank you. Get out of the bed and can walk to your bathroom. Hey, God, thank you. Because there's times that you can't move, your knees won't go, and you have to sit there. Everything you need, that's what the song said. Your Aunt Reba was singing that. Everything you need, God got it. You need more power to stand in the doctor's hour. God got it. He's got silver and gold and riches untold. Come back to Donald Trump. God got it. God got it. Tell Donald Trump to go on YouTube and pull that up. God, that more than he'll ever have. Oh, bless his name. And I'm passed in to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Sorry for interrupting.
Father,
but I got it.
We pray for these supporters, God. We pray for these supporters.
Yes,
and I pray
God.
Right now, Father, that you will undergird them. God,
yes.
Get up under them and lift them up like eagles. Lift them up beyond the storm.
Lift them up beyond the rain.
Lift them up. Lift them up to the height of the mountain. In the name of, lift them above the circumstance and above the sickness and above the disease and above the doctor's report, God. Show yourself to be mighty. Show yourself to be strong. Let them feel your arms and your hands. Oh, God, picking them up like a mother pick up her baby out of the crib and hold them. Oh, God, hold that baby close to her breast and to her heart. Father, wrap your arms around these three supporters for supporting this ministry. Father, I pray right now that you give to them the blessings that you gave to the church of Philippi because how they blessed Paul, and they gave again out of their means, and they kept on supporting Paul. Paul told them, Paul said to them, there is a sweet-smelling savor unto the nostrils of God. Let them know that the Kaniosha, what they are doing to cause this ministry to continue is a sweet-smelling savor. And like Noah offered a sacrifice, and you came, the smell drew you close to Noah, to Kamiosha, to give him a new covenant. Father, let them know that their gift is a sweet-smelling sacrifice that draws you close to them. And you'll give them a new covenant, a new agreement that cannot be broken. Not a conditional covenant, but an unconditional covenant. That God, when you say it, you've got to do it. When you speak it, you've got to perform it. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I speak to the north, the south, the east, and the west. More people, Bubakandiya Shaman, that will pour into this ministry. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. This ministry will have 2 or 3, 4 bank accounts. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That there will be more radio stations that will open up. There will be more television stations that will open up. In the name of Jesus. There will be greatness asking to come on the radio. Asking to minister. In the name of Jesus. Because of the anointing that draws the people in and drives the devil out. All because of these three that stood in the fire. And continue to declare their means of support to this ministry. I pray that it would be done. You will heal them from the diadiosa, from the dialysis. I've seen you do it. I know you can do it. Speak to the kidneys, be healed. Speak to the blood vessels, be healed. Speak to the body, be healed. Behold and be we made well. In the name of Jesus. I don't know who's going on. Just felt something in my spirit, some confusion right now. I rebuke the spirit of confusion. I rebuke the spirit of confusion. And I speak the peace of God. Yes, God, there it is. There it is. It was just released. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The peace was just released. Hey, hiya. Hey, hallelujah. The peace was just released. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're a God who moves in the ocean immediately. Thank you. You're a God who moves immediately. Hallelujah. That's what the book of the Gospel of Mark represents. This servant who woke immediately. Thank you, God. The peace of God. The peace of God just took over immediately. in the name of Jesus. Praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. I see one more thing for you, prophetess. I hear the Lord saying that he's going to give you an encounter with Benny Hinn. He's going to give you, you're going to have an interview. God's going to bring you into the proximity. You're going to literally meet Benny Hinn. I called over the shutdown.
Lord, help me to pray. My glory today. Hello, television. Oh, my God. Thank you,
Hello,
Lord.
Pastor. A couple of people have just joined the call. Do you have time for me to check with them to see if they want to
about
prayer?
In the name of Jesus. Yes, let me just say this to her. Lord gave me this. I didn't know. He gave me the name this time, prophetess. But back when I was in AIM, Church of God in Christ in Cincinnati, I was speaking to one of my nephews, and I told him, the Lord told me to tell you, don't refuse the open door. And he got it. He said, okay, I'm walking away. I did not know that he was being called by Benny Hinn to do praise and worship in Brazil. The Lord just reminded me of that. I didn't know it was Benny Hinn. This time I know who it is. The Lord says, he goes, oh, don't go shut down. Benny Hinn is seeking for new people in the kingdom. He's tired of using the same recycled people. He's looking for new people in the kingdom that's going to minister to the real issues
wow.
of this world.
Yes.
The real
oh,
issues.
God.
The people who are not afraid to talk about the real issues of this world. And you are a warrior. You are a staunch warrior that the world needs to hear. And God's got to use a major platform to bring you to a major place. Because Pharaoh didn't know what about the dream. So God had to use somebody who was in prison. Somebody who was lied on, somebody who was abused, somebody who was taken advantage of, somebody who people thought was dead. But God had to let them go. And Pharaoh had enough common sense to say, I don't know what to do. Thou art the man. You take over. I've given you Egypt. God told me to tell you he's giving you the world. Because the world needs you. I'm ready, Bishop, whoever it is.
The caller at 3261, we're opening the lines for a word of prayer. Are you wanting the pastor to pray with you? Caller 3261.
Bishop Davis, can you hear him? He's calling for you, 3261.
Yes, I can hear him.
Praise
can
God.
You hear me?
Yes, indeed. You like a word of prayer?
Me? Yes, sir.
Did you say
yes.
Bishop Davis?
Yes.
Yes.
Bishop Davis. My last name is Davis. I found out not too long ago. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I found out not too long ago that the name Davis, I thought the name Davis was an old English name. Come to find out, it is derived from the Hebrew name David, which means of the beloved. God told me to tell you, you are of the beloved, and that you are chosen for such a time as this. He also, prophets, believe it or not, before Bishop Scott asked, said that there was other people on the line, the Lord said to me, and I should have said something to confirm it, the Lord said to me, there's a bishop on the line that needs you need to minister to. And this is the man of God. The Lord told me to tell you this. The Lord told me to tell you this. Not only are you a bishop, but you're also an apostle.
Woo! Thank you, Lord.
And the Lord told me to tell you this. The Bible says, when he created the Garden of Eden, prophets, you're going to love this. I want you to preach this. When he created the Garden of Eden, the Bible says, there went out water from the garden that parted four ways. The prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher can't go forth until the apostle's in place.
Oh, my God.
The Lord says, Don't stop the flow.
Yes, Lord.
Don't stop the flow. Because the Bible says, as the water went out of the garden, it parted four ways. Get in the second chapter of Genesis and study the meaning of those four areas. God says, allow him to minister to you those four areas. You're the apostle, but there's the prophet that is an apostle that you've got to pour into. There's the evangelist you've got to pour into. There is the pastor you have to pour into, and there is the teacher, for the benefiting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry. The Lord says other gifts are waiting for you to pour into these governmental offices so they can come and take place their congregational offices so that the ministry of Christ, watch this, not only will begin to grow in the church, but also grow in the community. The Lord is saying, I showed you a community that I want to give you, but you've got to let the flow go.
Yes, sir. Thank you. My God.
That means there's greater sacrifices. Yes, Lord, I thank you, Holy Ghost. God said to tell you this. You must let people go. You must let people go. People who have hurt you, let them go. I hear the Lord say, I'm separating you from toxic environments. They may
thank
have
you,
a title, but some of them are toxic.
Yes, Lord.
Some of them are toxic. Some of them are toxic. And God says, I can't allow what I give you, Gabriel has given to you, to be tainted.
Yes, Lord.
The touch of God's hand upon your life can no longer allow to be tainted with people around you. Now, whom God's going to cause you to minister to, some people are going to speak again. But God says, if I be for you, I am more than the world against you. Do anybody know somebody named Greg or Gregory? Or Greg or Gregory just came to my spirit.
That's Bishop Scott's name, Gregory.
That's his name? That's him? Okay.
Yes, Bishop Scott. Gregory Scott.
Okay, all right. Okay. Okay, Gregory. Okay, all right. Okay. I didn't know it. I just heard Bishop. He's just letting you know that he has you on your mind. He has you on his mind. While I'm ministering to the bishop, Bishop Gregory, he said he has you on your mind. So even when God has ministered to other people, Bishop Scott, he still has you in mind. Don't think he's not. He has you in mind. He has you in mind. Sometimes he don't speak to you in front of people to protect your reputation. Because it seems like every time God is ready to minister to you, Bishop Scott, there's wicked birds trying to steal the word. But God said, they can't steal you from my mind. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. So he says, since you have my mind, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And he says, I know what you think towards me also. So guess what? When people don't call you out and give you prophecy, the Lord said, that's okay. I got you in my mind. Just get in my mind, and you hear what I have to say. And I'll just bring confirmation like he's doing tonight. Tonight, there's no wicked birds, so he's bringing confirmation. That's why a lot of people could not come on the line, prophetess, because they would have been wicked birds. God got the righteous eagles. God from Zion. He don't need chickens on the line. He need eagles. Chickens fight for things. Eagles go for things. Lord, have mercy, Jesus.
Amen.
Chickens got wings that can't fly. All the world, my Diosha. But all they are shot. But eagles, all they do is stretch forth their wings and let the wind carry them. Lord, have faith in Jesus. So, man of God, he's confirming to you, Bishop Davis and Bishop Gregory, he's confirming to you. He's confirming to you. He said, let the flow go.
Amen.
Yes,
let it
Lord.
Go. Let him move in your ministry.